Welcome to the FMCG podcast. Make sure you're following us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and leave us a five-star review. It really helps us out. Enjoy the show.
Hi, good morning. My name is Rich and we're Consumer Hub. And we focus on supporting careers within the consumer sector. And this is the FMCG podcast where we speak with some of the best leaders of today that we get hands on. And we hear all about their expertise and insights into all things FMCG business. And also, more importantly for you, career development as well. So today we're really excited because we've got Emma and Adele on the show from Ikito. And then we're going to be getting into a little bit more about the strategy of the business, what's going on there, and also hear their advice on career development too. So just very quickly, could you both just give me an overview of yourself and what you're doing at the moment and your roles in your business?
Sure. So I can start. So my name's Emma Bass. I'm the UK CEO for Ikotone, been with the business around 7 years. Ikotone, actually our name says it all. The word Ikotone means it's two very rich, diverse places where nature are at their richest. So, for example, where the Amazon meets the Amazon rainforest. Those special places in the world are called ecotones. And that really encompasses what our business is all about. We are very passionate about our purpose, and our mission is to drive and support biodiversity. We really believe that the food industry needs to take responsibility for protecting the beautiful world that we live in. So we're a purpose-driven company. We have we're about 700 million across Europe. We have some quite well-known brands in Europe. We have Bjorg is our biggest. It's an organic brand across a number of categories. But in the UK, the brands that perhaps you know are Clipper Organic Tea, Whole Earth Peanut Butter, Callow Rice Cakes and Stock Cubes, and Mrs. Grimble's. So brands that are really anchored in sustainability and biodiversity. What we're great at as a business is taking brands that are being developed by passionate entrepreneurs and developing those brands to bring them more scale and bring them to more people in the UK. So my role as CEO of the UK is to look after a very passionate team that we have here who are really supportive of the mission that we're on as a business to protect biodiversity.
Brilliant. Yeah, and I'm the UK marketing director at RA and approaching 10 years in come April this year. So I've been here a while. But yeah, very much was attracted to Ikotone because of the ethos that Emma's just talked about, sustainability and the purpose of all the brands. I started working on Whole Earth, and I've had a breadth of experience across multiple of our brands within the organisation, and also working from an EU, European perspective, and also a UK perspective. So, very much had a broad breadth of experience, which from a career perspective is hugely motivating. And today I am the marketing UK marketing director, so the captain of the portfolio brands that Emma just asked to mention. So Whole Earth, Clipper, and Callow Bina are key brands. Yeah. And just to build on what Emma said, Whole Earth is an example of being one of those brands that we really, fostered. It started in the 1960s as a, small entrepreneurial brand with family, two brothers that set it up in London, really establishing around organic and macrobiotic principles. And it's really now accelerated under Ikotone to be the UK's number one peanut butter. So that's just an example of the strategy around how we're taking these smaller purpose-driven brands and really accelerating under the arms and the guide of Ikotone.
Brilliant. That's great. Well, you both must be enjoying it if you've been there so long. It's great to speak to people that have been with the business for a good while and just know the brands well as well. But what had you done in your careers before you started with Ikotone then? What was the sort of journey into a purpose-driven business?
So perhaps I can start. So I've always been in food. Was very passionate about food. I like eating it, and then very real foodie. So always been in food. I started my career at Mars Confectionery in Slough, which is great actually, because Mars are one of the big blue chips in our industry that are really focused on their culture and really support you in the business. So it's a great foundation for me where I was given really good structure and development as I started my career. And I think that really set me up well for the future, and it's something that I pull back on quite a lot. from Mars, I went to Premier, and then I would say I grew up at Danone, where I worked in the dairy division, and was there when we were developing the active health drinks category. So it didn't exist in the UK. That's quite exciting, and creating new categories and bringing people into new sort of functional health opportunities. From there, I went to McCormick's as UK GM for a couple of years, looking after the herbs and spices, and then moved to Ecotone 6 or 7 years ago. And it really was the brands that interested me, first of all, about Ecotone. But also, I think one of the things I picked up in my career is culture is really important. And certainly for me, being in a culture where I can be myself, and to be honest, a culture with little politics, which we have here that I really appreciate, that really helped me be my best self, I guess, because I can just be very authentic and feel very comfortable progressing my ideas and the business. So that was what really attracted me to Ecotone. And that is, you know, as you just mentioned, that's what's kept me here, because it's a really encouraging, supportive, passionate culture. Very, you know, very much like-minded people coming together, very passionate about sustainability and the mission that we're on. And it's besides well, actually, because we have the support of a multinational group, but we're still quite a small business. So we're quite agile, really able. We really encourage entrepreneurism and people to really feel this in their business and they can make a difference. So yeah, culture for me is probably the most important thing that helps me both enjoy my job and has helped me be successful.
That's great.
And then, yeah, from my perspective, it's pretty similar to Emma, actually. There are some key similarities. So, yeah, I left university, was always interested in business and larger, you know, food organizations. I also had a little bit of an interest in the languages as well. Again, attracted me to marketing and European companies. And then I had the bulk of my career within PepsiCo, so for 10 years. And similar to Emma, that was like a time when I, you know, grew up and got a real breadth of experience through that, you know, their rigor, their processes, you know, they're known for doing really strong marketing campaigns, you know, with the likes of the Walkers, Chris and Doritos, et cetera. So I really got my grounding and career in marketing through that organization, which, you know, hugely grateful for that time. And it was a big, you know, career journey for me. And then again, similar to Emma, I was just at a point where my life was, you know, change, looking for a change from a career perspective. You know, a little bit older and wiser and wanting to have the, you know, look at some purpose-driven brands as well. So that was key that attracted me over to Ecotone. And at the time, it was when we had the whole brand and growth in peanut butter really accelerating. And although I don't actually eat peanut butter, it was quite interesting to go onto a brand. But then it appealed to me from a sustainability and purpose perspective. That's really been, you know, for me, the opportunity to take ownership over the, you know, smaller entrepreneurial brands that have huge opportunity that are relevant today. And so that's what attracted me in terms of the purpose-driven brands. And then also the culture, like you mentioned, I've been here 10 years and you don't stay somewhere 10 years and you don't enjoy it. So very much for me, it's more than just a business. You know, you spend a lot of hours at work and you need to enjoy the culture, the people that you work with. And it very much feels like a, you know, family. It's got a really strong community spirit and we very much pride ourselves on working together and being cooperative and through our head office, but also through the factory that we own as well. So for me, that's one of the reasons why I've stayed so long. It's got a really, you know, positive, strong culture and some really fantastic brands as well.
Brilliant. That's great. No, thanks. That's really interesting. It looks like you've got some nice offices there as well. What's behind? Is it some woods that you have blocked?
Yeah, a lot of people commenting on that. I've got a great office actually because I'm that's got windows every side, so I get the natural sunlight in.
Nice.
So yeah, we've got a nice we can have a little walk along the river just outside. So. I mean, we are in a business park, so we've not. It looks more than it actually is.
Yeah,
we're in a business park, but yeah, there's a nice bit of greenery around us.
It's really nice. It's brilliant. So it's interesting you're saying, Adele, about the peanut butter you don't eat it. So tell me, what are your favourite brands like of the brands in the portfolio? Like, Do you even have a personal favourite? Are you allowed to? And if so, like, why? You know, what is it you've got, like, a person? So, you know,
they're all my babies. I love them all equally. That is, yeah. I mean, Holdes, I've got a really, you know, strong. He's got a really strong place in my heart because I have worked on that brand many, many times. I had my career as a, you know, as merged and adapted. Like I said, both from the UK and a European perspective, and the ethos is very strong. But then also strong to my heart, you know, is Clipper. Clipper, you know, pretty similar story to Whole Earth. Again, it was founded in 1984. It was a couple that really wanted to share their love for, you know, delicious and ethical tea. Again, bought by Ecotone, and going back now, a long time ago, I think it's 2012. But Clipper now, you know, it's the largest buyer of fair trade tea. It's the fastest growing major tea brand in the UK right now as well. And, you know, he's founded on some really strong principles. It's all about ethical credentials, like I said, fair trade. It's about, you know, being non-GM. We don't bleach our tea bags. So there's really strong principles around the brand. And also when you go and see the factory yourself, you can see that that comes through for the people that work down on the factory as well. They actually love the brand. They take really strong care and attention to it, to the process, to the blending, to the quality of tea. And we have long-standing relationships with our tea suppliers, some of over 25 years. So again, Clipper's a brand that's really, really strong to my heart as well.
Oh, great. That's really interesting. What about you? Have you got a sort of favourite, or are you, do you love them all?
Well, yeah, I have said I love them all, but I do drink about 9 cups of tea a day. So I do appreciate having a good, tasty cup of Clipper. So I think, yeah, certainly I'm a consumer. Clipper would be the most consumed brand for me.
Right, that's cool. So, I mean, you touched on the brand mission there for the ETO group, which is really interesting to see. Something that I wanted to ask you about is how you sort of manage a portfolio of very diverse brands. Like, how do you enable them all in their own channels, their own kind of customer segments, shopper segments, and I guess keep a handle on it all, because it's a discussion that's come up on a few podcasts before about, you know, is less more. Some businesses I spoke to, more startups, you know, they've added lots of SKUs in and they've realized that's cannibalized sales. And I can imagine there's a temptation if you're a purpose driven business. You know, you probably have a lot of people that would like to work with you, other brands that maybe kind of come your way from acquisition opportunities. How do you sort of keep that, you know, overall sort of banner together for them all and make sure they all still get space to thrive? Is that sort of question making sense?
Yeah. Do you want to think?
I mean, principle for us, I suppose, is just trying to be as simple as possible and to minimize complexity. There are similarities that we can leverage from. So from a consumer perspective, you know, we attract what we call this eco-active consumer. So these type of consumers are all really, you know, concerned about the environment, about waste, and they wanted to make really sustainable choices. So from a brand and marketing perspective, you know, I'm always taking that lens in terms of our brands do fulfill that consumer need and the consumer driver. So there is consistency there when we look from a brand and a messaging perspective. And then in terms of, you mentioned, you know, portfolio, you know, it's really key for us to champion, you know, our core products and the ones that are in our core range. So we do that through our marketing communications and through our distribution opportunities. There is also a need for, you know, innovation, which we pride ourselves on innovation in terms of evolving the brands and bringing in new shoppers. You know, we're also choiceful on which of these, you know, priorities that we're going to which of the opportunities we're going to prioritize and make choices on in terms of where we spend. And one of our most successful innovations on Calo, recently you may have seen our veggie cake. So it's been hugely incremental to our portfolio and bringing in some new consumers, really specializing in, you know, plant-based snacking. So that's a choice we made to back that portfolio. So it's continuously about looking at the strategic direction of the brands, the opportunities with the consumers, and how we can continue to grow in a simplistic manner.
Yeah. Sounds like you really, really understand the consumers then. Do you sort of have dedicated panels that you work with on a consistent basis to sort of understand the changing needs? Like, how do you make sure you're always keeping close to the consumers and the shoppers within that demographic?
Yeah, we constantly do. So we're constantly, we have an in-house social team. We're constantly monitoring, you know, we have communication on a regular basis with consumers, so monitoring the feedback. And then, you know, like other FMCGs, we'll have, you know, data sources through, you know, the likes of Kantar. So we're continuously monitoring the market to see how consumers are changing. And then again, from our media agency, we're always looking at how the media and consumption habits changing and where this best place for our brands to show up in order to attract our consumers. So it's a, you know, it's a continuous dialogue. It's not something we deep dive, I would say, more once a year, but it's ongoing, you know, every month, you know, every week we're looking at our consumers, what are they saying, how are they feeding back on us, what more can we do to improve?
I think one of the things, great things about our brands is because it does, as Adele said, attract these eco-actives, people that are quite passionate themselves about sustainability, it means that a lot of people have opinions and want to share, you know, what they support in brands. All of our brands actually have very high loyalty but quite low awareness. That's our, you know, the business strategy, very much about driving that awareness. And we have some amazing consumers. I know one of my favourites is we have a Clipper lady who decorates her lounge with Clipper packaging, and is very, very passionate about the brand. So. As Zell said, we do a lot on social, but what's great about our brands is there's a lot to talk about. So our marketing is more around that social and sharing what we're doing and sharing the messages. And we find that our consumers want to share it as well, which is great for us.
Brilliant. So you've got really good community engagement. Just on that point, I read a blog by you on LinkedIn, I think it was, Adele, where you were talking about working with de-influencers. What opportunities that presents. And that really interested me. Could you just unpack some of your thoughts on what a de-influencer is and how working with them can offer an advantage? Because I thought it was a really interesting insight.
Yeah, I suppose we from our brand perspective, you know, we always try to be authentic and truthful. You know, even if we're not perfect on where we are today, we show our commitment to the consumer in terms of where we want to be. So one example will be, you know, we want to remove the plastic from our consumer products in Clipper, and we invested over, you know, $1 billion in our factory to help do that. So that took a while. That was not a quick thing to do. It required investment and change, but we want to be very transparent about the commitments that we make, and that, you know, this will take time, but showing consumers that we are on a journey, but that we are committed. And I think it's similar from when we, you know, the people that we work with from an influencer perspective as well. And we want to make sure that through other people, if they're sharing, you know, sharing about our brand, that they're also authentic and true. And it's not just about, you know, obviously, you know, influencers, you know, will require some level of payment. It's, but it's just about not just paying for media. It's about making sure that we position ourselves with people that share our similar values and our similar purpose. And that's really what about that piece was, that we stay true to ourselves through everything that we do from a brand perspective, but also who we work for as well externally.
That's really interesting. Just picking up on that thread there around, I think, I mean, you said that very high kind of repeat purchase, but low awareness. So I imagine awareness is all about, is very, very key to the kind of scalability that you're looking to drive for the brands. That, how do you drive awareness without just, like you say, throwing loads of cash just to buy space? I mean, you touched on it there, Dan, but could you just unpack for me a little bit more kind of how you could be smart in marketing with these purpose-driven brands that you've got to drive that awareness?
Yeah, absolutely. So we just went live with our new Clipper campaign on the 15th of January. So I'm sure you will have seen that already. It's all about there's tea and there's good tea, and how we've approached that. There's two things from a, you know, from a consumer perspective. One is about that mental availability, and one is about that physical availability. So the mental availability is really much about landing, you know, disruptive messages. So we really want to be, you know, we talk about being change agents. How do we really show consumers that we are different and we've got a, you know, a different stance and landing the purpose with them? So our message needs to be disruptive. Also, it needs to be in the right channels where these consumers are. So we make choices about where our media goes, looking at, you know, obviously social channels are a big one for us, where our consumers are and where they consume their media, be that through, you know, Instagram and also, you know, with the popularity of TikTok as well. And also knowing that, you know, VOD as well is another channel where our younger audience is. So we look at, you know, mental availability and then physical availabilities in terms of, you know, when we go into store, we need to make sure we're really visible. So we approach our media from that perspective. How can we be disruptive and how can we then be available? And if you look at the Clipper campaign, so this is the Clipper campaign that's just gone live. It's been our largest spend to date. We've not historically spent this much on Clipper. So we really believe in what we're, the message that we have right now. So the campaign is very much about landing the message of Clipper being organic, natural and fair trade. But it's through a really disruptive manner. If you do go on and see the ad, it's displayed through a singing, dancing bird with a really bespoke song that's true to Clipper. And it's super disruptive and super impactful. It's catchy, it's memorable. And that will really stand out for this eco-active audience. So it's not just about giving the dry messages. It's about doing it in an animated way that's really going to turn people's heads and be memorable. So we've made, you know, made choices to make that creative as impactful as possible. And then, you know, made that available on the right channels where our consumers are, through social, through Instagram, through TikTok. And also, you know, looking at and how we translate that through in store. So obviously key is when shoppers also then going to into store. We are a smaller brand. We don't have as much visibility as some of the other big players. So it's about being smart on the choices and the point of sale and the media that we have in store so that we can then encourage people to pick up our brand and try them. And on top of that, what we've also done is offered an on-pack promotion for consumers to win a trip to an eco holiday. Again, just, you know, in a way to encourage people to try our brand, but also really ringing true to the ethos of, if you were to go on holiday with Clipper, it would be to an eco holiday. And so for me, that campaign, we're hugely excited about it. It's a really strong, disruptive way to connect with our consumers and land the ethos and the purpose of our brand.
That's really interesting. Yeah. So we do a lot in the startup space. We've done a lot of podcasts with startups, and always a question that seems to come up is, do you work with a field force or not to get that sort of like almost like live qual insight on whether the store was merchandising properly, whether that POS, point of sale, fixture is, you know, how it should look on paper. Is that something that you've used as a business? Do you find value in that? Or do you actually find if you build the right partnerships with the right retailers, you know, you don't need to spend as much on it? I'm always interested in whether it's really worth the investment from a top line perspective into the overall marketing mix.
One thing, because I think, you know, I've worked when I was in McCormick's, we did have a very large field team, and there's certainly benefits for that, but we don't use a field team here. I think, you know, my perspective is a lot of the time, certainly if you're in grocery, the grocers are so well organised these days and very good at their compliance in terms of the choice that made ahead of it then being translated down into store. That being said, here our business is also very strong in health food trade and convenience. Convenience is always a bit a challenge because it's so fragmented. But where we really benefit is we have a very strong business in health food trade and food service. And actually, that's driven by a lot of those customers are really responsible in the partners they have that they're going to, you know, whether it's serving tea or the food they serve. So actually, those customers look at the credentials around fair trade, organic, and the certifications that we have. So, for, you know, our investment in sustainability wins through, right, and builds our reputation in those channels, and it gets us a distribution. So that's where we invest rather than the field team.
Right. Sounds like there's just massive halo effect aligned with people that share the same purpose and vision. And if you can find those partners, helps you find the consumers. It's a nice virtuous circle. It's really interesting. Are there any sort of insights you can share on growth plans that, you know, aren't confidential but people would be interested in?
Well, I think our growth plan is just keep telling more and more consumers about the sustainable choices that our brands give them. So as we grow, we keep trying to invest more and more behind our marketing and supporting the brands. And the other thing we're doing, Adele touched on, you know, the investment in the factory to take away the foil and, you know, go fully plastic free on Clipper. I really believe that if we continue being authentic and keep trying to make the right choices, keep investing behind those brands, investing in sustainable choices, that will bring us long-term growth. We see a huge you know, you see it everywhere on the news now. There's a swell of awareness now of we are in the midst of a climate crisis, and we need to take action now. The food industry accounts for over a third of greenhouse gas emissions. So we have a responsibility to do the right thing. And consumers and shoppers are becoming more and more aware of that. And I believe that's what will secure our growth for the future. So we're not perfect. We have to, you know, the choices are challenging. Trying to manage sustainable choices with commercial choices can be quite a challenge. But I do believe if we keep doing that, that's what will continue the growth that we've had. I mean, we've been outperforming in the UK for the last 6 years as a business. And if anything, all we see at the moment is the momentum building. So our growth plan is keep believing that the right thing to do will deliver the right business results.
Brilliant. That's great. Thank you. Just moving it on to careers, I mean, I appreciate the insights in how your career has developed earlier, but I just love to kind of dig into that a little bit more. I think people would be really interested in sort of it, to understand what is a day in your life like? Adele, what's, you know, a day in your life like? You just quickly sketch out some of the things that you get up to, because it's really interesting for people that are maybe in the middle of their careers, just to hear about actually, yeah, what your day to day, you know, is like in the detail of it.
It's funny because my husband always, He works manually, so he always looks at what I'm doing. I think he thinks I'm not doing a lot. My day is mainly chatting to people. My job is all about communication. So it is about talking to all the different functions throughout the business and really helping make sure that everybody is connected. I think you touched on it earlier that, you know, we do have quite a complex portfolio here. We, Del and I both live the luxury of having just one category and that clear focus on one category. We operate across six here. So we always have to, you know, my role is about keeping that focus and keeping that connectivity that everybody understands what the end objective is and their role in delivering it. Just communicating. So it's, I'm quite a nosy and curious person. So it's, it suits me very well, knowing what everyone's up to. And connecting, it works very well.
Right.
Yeah, I think from my my perspective, I mean, in marketing, it's such variety and breadth. I mean, we've got such a diverse portfolio, and we've got a team working on each of the different brands. So, you know, like Emma says, a lot of communication, talking and supporting and helping out my team on their brand plans and strategy. We'll do, you know, innovation, tasting. And then also, you know, we hugely believe in the ethos of being like cooperative and open as well. So again, the example of the Clipper campaign, we're very much, you know, sharing that with all the business, every single department. You know, we want them to be aware of it, we want them to feedback on it and you put into it. So, you know, we'll do a roadshow sharing it with the head office and also sharing it down with our factory in Bedminster, because, you know, we have got the culture that, you know, everybody is valued and everybody's input is welcome and wanted. So we're continuously making sure that what we do in marketing, because it's, you know, the most tangible thing, what new products are you bringing to market, what new campaign look like. We very much want to share that with as many, you know, with everybody that works in the organization. So that's a big part of the day as well. And then other aspects, because again, because of the culture of Ecotone, we also prided ourselves in trying to help other people without the outside the organization. So we have a partnership in My Big Career. So one part of my day might be having, you know, volunteering sessions with children at school, coaching them and mentoring them on, you know, on their career choices, giving them advice from my experience as well. So again, that's just another thing that we do that can be varied, and it might just some people like how I'm spending days in marketing. Well, I'm talking to 12-year-olds and chatting with them and giving advice on their career. But, you know, it's absolutely why I'm being here 10 years and you know, the ethos of the culture and of Ecotone.
That's brilliant. I mean, it is crazy how big the food and drink industry is and how many kids have no idea how to get into it. If somebody had told me you could have a job in the food and drink industry as a teenager, I'd have been really interested. And I just kind of fell into it. But yeah, it's just such a great, interesting, and who does have a connection to food? So I must be really, really rewarded. Yeah. What advice would you both have on for people that want to build a career in FMCG? But I'm thinking specifically those people that are early mid-careers who are looking at Ecotone and they want to work for a purpose-driven brand. And that's something that we hear more and more from the candidates we work with, is that they don't, obviously they need to pay the bills, but actually that is, you know, on level with the purpose of the business they want to work for. How do you create opportunities for yourself in your career to become the type of person that a purpose-driven business would want to hear, you know, would want to hear from and hire? Could you just kind of give us a bit of insight into that from your own experience there?
Yeah, so I thought from my perspective, there's probably two buzzwords that ring true for me from, you know, my experience. One is curiosity. I think I mentioned, you know, I have a breadth of experience of different departments working on different brands. So very much for me, I always recommend people to be on that, you know, open journey to growth and curiosity, asking why. So asking why consumers are buying this, why are they doing that? Why is a trade doing this? You know, why is that, you know, the option, the only options we've got on the table? So I think continually stretching, you know, the breadth of your thinking by always questioning and asking why. I think that will lend you in very well stead going forward for your career. And also, I think from a marketeer perspective, just thinking, you know, about functional marketeers, I think the other thing for me is just being true to the brand. So that was one thing I would say if people are, you know, in just starting their career in marketing and working on brands fresh, I would say very much, you know, I view brands as people, as individuals. They have a persona, they have a tone of voice, they have, you know, how they dress and how they show up. And it's very much about ensuring that what you do is consistent with the brand values through everything, how you show, how you talk, who you partner with, and making sure that you're consistent in that message throughout. Like I said, even if you're not perfect, but you're consistent and true to what that brand stands for. So from a career perspective, I'd say curiosity, growth, driven agenda. And then from a brand perspective, I'd say be true to the brand.
Interesting.
Yeah, and other than that, I said it at the curiosity is key, because that curiosity is, you know, that mindset of continuous improvement. I think for me, when people, if I'm interviewing people coming into the business, one of the things that I find really inspiring is when you see people have that passion for the business or for the brands, or a passion around what they can bring to the role. So really trying to harness that, have confidence that actually you can come into business and harness that passion and really make a difference, whether that is that you're going to be in marketing and it's going to be your passion around how you drive awareness of sustainability, or whether you want to go into sales and that passion is going to come through in your authenticity when you're talking to the trade about the difference that, you know, sustainable brands will make, whether you want to work in quality and, you know, regulatory and, you know, adhere to, you know, help us adhere to the organic regulations, etc. I think just believing that you can make a difference and showing that passion. You know, when I see that with people, that's where I know that someone's going to come in, be proactive and really take their career forward themselves, and on the way make a difference to the business. So just embrace your authenticity and your passion, and I think that will really help you throughout your career.
Right, that's really good advice, thank you. Just final question for me then, are there any, you know, resources, books, podcasts that you'd recommend that you've really benefited from yourself in your own journey of authenticity development that you could share with people that, you know, you kind of hang out and say, do you know what, if you're going to read one book or listen to one podcast, get on that, that's going to really support your exploration of those things there?
Yeah, the book that I love, and I read it years ago, but still refer back to it sometimes, is Lean In by Sheryl Sandberg. And I'm very passionate about trying to support women in the industry, in senior positions. I think on the supplier side, we're a bit behind where we should be. And Sheryl Sandberg really helps give a different perspective and really encourages women to both encourage each other, but also be confident in themselves and really you know, think about what equality looks like. And it really resonates with me as a book. I think confidence is something, I know it's a generalization, but I see it in myself and I see it in a number of women that I work with, is we really need to channel our confidence and believe that we have the right to be in these senior positions and have the right to change the world as much as anyone else. It's a book that I'm always encouraging my friends and people that I work with to read, because it really does make you think about the mindset that you have and the confidence you have and how that impacts your personal progression. So, Yeah, I'd recommend it as a book.
Right.
For me, I'd say Simon Sinek. I came across Simon through marketing, you know, the classic finding your why, which we talk about a lot in terms of our brand purpose. But then subsequently, you know, I followed his podcast and then I read some of his books and watching the TED Talks. And one of the other areas that was hugely interesting is the PC the Leaders Eat Last. And for me, it resonated in terms of, you know, how, you know, I'm only successful as my team. So I'm here to make sure that my team is supported, that they get what they need, that they're empowered, you know, to lead the brands. And ultimately, you know, I'm there to support them and guide them through that, obviously challenge them. But, you know, my role is to make sure that they're happy at work, that they're able to do the best that they can. They have the tools and the resources to do that. And again, going back to the collaborative culture that we have here, that's always, you know, in my mind of how I work with my team. And so that's what I encourage people to follow him and listen to his podcasts and talks that he has.
That's great. No, thank you for that. That's really useful. And I guess just to kind of wrap up from my perspective, it's been, you know, really, really interesting just kind of hearing about the business, the brand, the strategy there, insights on career. And, you know, so thank you very much for kind of coming on our show and sharing those insights into the business and the career. You know, for anyone watching, please reach out to Emma and Adele and find them for their time. Anyone that comes on the show is doing it because they want to invest in careers, and you know, it is really appreciated. And we do frequently get people reach out to us and really enjoyed that, learned that from this podcast. So if that's you and you're gonna drop us a message, make sure you drop Emma and Adele a message as well. But I guess just before I wrap up, anything else that you wanted to mention that we've not covered off that people might find interesting?
We
covered it off. Great. Well, thanks so much. Have a great week. And be in touch soon. Take care. See you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.